What I want to do now is you guys should be fairly depressed from this morning. So how many is depressed from this morning sermon? You know, if that was it, how many in here would go to heaven? Not one person. And so that's a pretty depressing message. Say, well, I feel all excited. I want to raise my hand and get Pentecostal on us. Well, that'd be great, except that's pretty sad news. And so God knew that. But God had a plan. See, that's what people don't really understand, is God's plan. And once you understand God's plan, then all of a sudden you start to realize that it isn't about us or about that, it's about the plan. And so God saves a man named Saul, changes his name to Paul, and he gets saved in Acts chapter 9. And if you couldn't tell, from about here to here is very much under the law. You understand that? Thou shalt not. Thou shalt pluck out thy eyes. Thou shalt cut off thy arm. Thou shalt, on and on. Thou shalt. And the ones that were hard, like keeping adultery, got tougher, but he didn't make it easier. He said to look after a woman, to lust after her. You've already committed adultery where? So he took adultery, that it was a sexual act, and now intensified it just by glancing. So I mean, it didn't get easier in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What he did was take the law and make it harder. You got it? And if that's where we stop the story, everybody in this room ought to be crying. Let me show you, before I go on, just how seriously they took the law. Would that be okay? Go to Nehemiah. Now, I'm not kidding you. There's a book in the Bible called Nehemiah. I ain't joking you. There is. Some of you guys are a little gun shy. And Nehemiah is actually in the Bible. Does anybody know where Nehemiah is? Right before Esther and right after what?
Ezra.
Very good. I'm telling you, there's some Bible students here. It's in the Old Testament. Sterling. And go to Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah 8. I'm so glad you have me as your Bible teacher, aren't you? In Nehemiah 8, verse 1. And all the people, and who's all the people, by the way?
Israel.
You might want to write that out in the edge there, just so you know. Israel. Gathered themselves together as one man into the streets that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to who?
Israel.
To everybody?
Israel.
To the entire planet?
No.
No, to who?
Israel.
Who did Jesus come for? What did he bring? The law. He said not one jot or one tittle of the law was going to be removed. Right? And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women. And all that could hear with understanding, and upon the first day of the seventh month, and he read there within before the street which was before the water gate, from morning until midday, that's where we get that service time, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Now Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, that's why we have wooden pulpits, and made for that purpose, beside he stood, and he names a bunch of people. Verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he had opened it, all the people did what?
Yeah.
And there was a reverence for that book. And Ezra blessed the Lord, thus the prayer. And the great God and all the people answered, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their back, bowed their heads, and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the what?
Ground.
As the Muslims do. Mm-hmm. Verse 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. How many understood the reading this morning? Mm-hmm. Everybody understand the reading? Mm-hmm. Wasn't hard, was it? Kind of hard to swallow. It was like a hard pill, but it wasn't hard to understand. Now watch. And Nehemiah, which is the Threshethrite, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites, taught the people and said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of what? How come it is when I read out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, people aren't just crying and saying, well, there's nobody that can get saved. We're all lost. Why is it when I read those words that people somehow in their mind are convinced that they can make it somehow? These people, when they heard the law and they caused it to sing, these people wept and cried, saying, no way, we're in trouble if this is the way it is. And they cried unto the Lord. And the day when people read the law, it's like this. Yep, I do that. Man, I'm Joe Chris. Whew! You know? That's the attitude, amen? It isn't, hey, when they hear the law, because you know what? People aren't getting them to really hear the law. Look back in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 21. Galatians 4, verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? If you really heard it, what should you be doing? You should be weeping. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John isn't just the law. He just intensified the law. He turned it up a notch. Cook says, bam! Emerald says that? Oh, that's the guy. Yeah, turn it up a notch. Bam! That's what Jesus did. He came in, took the law, turned it up a notch. Bam! And you know what? When people hear that, they just stick out their chicken breast as if we've got it all going on and we've accomplished it. Folks, that's just not the case. If that was the case, then there isn't any reason for what's about to come in this next part of the sermon. There would be no point for that. And you know, it's amazing to me because I sat in those churches that taught Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and somehow in my mind I was convinced I was going to make it. You know what I believed before I got saved? I believed God was going to put good on one side and bad on the other and weigh it out. I believed that with all my heart. Until I heard the gospel. And I don't believe that anymore. You know what? If you put all my good on that weight, you know what it'd be? The Bible says nothing more than filthy rags. What it would be? All my righteousness. Everything I could muster up in Barry Hampton. Everything I could bring before you and muster it up. Everything I could just pat my back on and rub my little... stroke my little brain and my brow and say, oh, look how wonderful I am. Everything I could muster up would be nothing more than filthy rags, the Bible says. And so in any weighing out, even my good is evil. Paul doesn't get them. People wanting to go back under the law after they got saved. And he says, you that... Do you not hear the law? Are you not hearing the condemning voices? Because if you did, you ought to put Nehemiah 8, verse 8 and 9, where they were weeping before the Lord when they did finally hear the law. And you know what, people today, you know, I love Judge Rowan Moore, and I believe you ought to be able to put the commandments anywhere you want. I believe it's a religious freedom act. Y'all understand? You know what, that wouldn't be what I'd be putting all over if I had the chance. I wouldn't be putting the law that would condemn you. I wouldn't be putting the law that Jesus Christ took and intensified. I'd be putting messages of grace up everywhere I could. So what actually happened? Well, go to Romans 16. You got that intensity of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and boy, we only got through part of 5 and 6. Man, you ought to read it all. That's some tough stuff. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and what? For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the simple. So, you know, when people are reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and not causing you to understand what it's really saying, what are they causing you to do? They're deceiving you. You all understand? Why? There is a mystery. If you just left nothing but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you ripped Romans through Philemon out of your Bible, you have ripped it out and threw it away, you should sit here and just cry all day long. If they took the books of Romans through Philemon out of your Bible and ripped it out and threw it away, and you know what? Most churches don't even know what's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they especially don't know what's in Romans through Philemon. Amen? Why, folks, it's 13 books. You know who wrote those 13 books? The Apostle Paul. And he wrote over half the New Testament. You know what? I'd gone to churches all my life. I didn't even know who Paul was. I'm not kidding you. I am not joking you in the least. I'm telling you, I grew up in churches, and if you'd asked me who the Apostle Paul was, you know what my answer probably would have been? One of the 12? How many here would have answered that? Or the 13th? Took Judas's spot. But that's not what God did. See, God had 12 men for the what? 12 tribes of Israel, for the 12 months, for the 12 thrones, for the 12 gates in the new city. 12. 12 is connected with who, do you think? Israel. And they lost one. Who was he? No, they lost one. Judas. Half of you guys just flunked the pop quiz. Judas Iscariot goes and kisses him, says he's the guy. They all asked if it was I. It was Judas. And you know what they did in Acts chapter 2? They added back one, which equaled what? 12. How many tribes? 12. How many thrones? 12. How many sons of Jacob's? 12. What is 12 connected to? Israel. And it's under the... Gosh, you guys are good students. Are you learning anything this morning? Yes. Okay, that's good. Verse 25. Romans 16:25. Now him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel. Whose gospel? He uses my gospel three times. Once is in Romans chapter 2, verse 16. I would write that.
2 Timothy 2.
And 2 Timothy chapter 2, 8. I would write that in my Bible because you want to be smarter than the average bear. Only mentioned three times, my gospel. It's Paul's gospel. What gospel? Well, the gospel he got on the road to Damascus, right here. And in Acts chapter 8, was he getting anything from the Lord? He's persecuting in Acts chapter 8. Persecuting, saved. Got it? That's how it worked. That point in time, this is time ticking along. This is a timeline. From the time Jesus was born until he died, 33 A.D. Time's ticking along. Is this zero? Time's ticking along. This is time. And it's been almost 2,000 years of grace. And the catching out are the rapture. Rapture is not a biblical term. The catching up is going to happen. And grace is coming to an end. Grace is no longer going to be grace. It's going to turn into wrath to come. You got it? Time passed. But now, wrath to come. Got it? That's how your Bible is divided. And this right here is all under the law. This all is a mystery. This is all mystery in here. Secret. God kept it a secret. Are you listening? Watch. Verse 25 again. Now to him this power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the
mystery.
You see that? Which had been kept secret since the what? Well, all right. Come back. Eternity past. Genesis through Malachi here. If it had been kept secret, was it taught in the Old Testament?
No.
Did they teach it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
Louder.
No.
No, they did not. Did they teach it in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7?
No.
It couldn't get revealed until this point, but now is made manifest. Look in the next verse, 26. But now, what time are we living in?
Now.
But now is made manifest. Well, then it must have been something pretty important for God to keep it a secret. Amen?
Amen.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now watch this. We'll start in verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a
mystery.
Everybody, in a
mystery.
I would have Romans 16:25 written right outside there on my Bible. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, the what?
Mystery.
The mystery of verse 7. They would not have what? Whatever they revealed to the Apostle Paul, had they revealed it back here, would they have crucified him? You know, I had never been taught that my whole year, all the years I've been to Sunday school and catechism. Have you? Isn't that weird? That's weird. Say that's weird. That's pretty weird. I find that a little bit on the strange meter. For had they known it, the mystery, they would not have what? So whatever that mystery is, pretty important, isn't it? Well, that mystery has to do with grace. It has to do with how much God loved you. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye
are
saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, when? Not before Acts 9. Could have been after Acts 9, but it couldn't have been before. Why, what was he doing in Acts chapter 8? Yeah, and making havoc of the church, wasn't he? For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. I'd put Acts chapter 9 in my Bible right there. How that Christ died for our sins. Well, come on, guys, that's the greatest news I know. Here's your life. This is your birthday. Everybody shout out their birthday month. And everybody shout out their death day. Oh, you don't know that one yet. It's coming. You understand? It's coming. And along that time of your life, you have committed sins. How many here have sinned? Raise your hand if you've sinned. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said there's none good, no, not one. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, that there's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We've all come short of the glory of God. Even the pastor, the pope, and, ready for this? Jimmy Swaggart and Billy Graham. There's none good. That included them as well as I. There is none good. There's not a Christian upon the earth that's any good. There's not a person that you could brag about and say, well, he's a very moral individual. They're immoral. And you know what? All it has to do is look at our Congress and see what it is. Amen? Well, that guy's a Republican. He's a homosexual too. That's right. And in the bathroom passing notes, that sexual relationship with a guy who said, he's of the moral right. There ain't none good. George Bush, was he any good?
No.
Barack Obama, you think he's any good?
No.
There ain't any good. No, not one. There's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. They're all sinners. We're all bad. You put everybody in the pile and they would stink like you've never smelled them before. It would stink. You think there's a moral person in government today? How many here think there's a moral person in government?
That's how they got it, you
broke it. They ain't none good, sweetheart. Hey, listen. They didn't start. You know what? How many here, let's just get down to Jesus. Let's come to Jesus meeting, okay? And I want you to be honest with me. How many here has ever stolen anything? Raise your hand if you've stolen. Now, why you expect them not to be like you?
They got more money.
They got your money. They're stealing it from you. All right, now, hang on. We're all thieves then, amen? I knew that guy was a thief. I could tell him right up front. I'm going to try another one. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie or bear false witness. How many here has told a lie at one time? You know, they didn't... Look at... Tony didn't raise his hand. He is a liar. He's especially a liar.
Cheat and thief, too.
How many here has ever taken the Lord's name in vain, honestly? I mean, you've done it. That's amazing, isn't it? You know what we are? We're a room full of scoundrels. I'm starting to get nervous from that crowd over there. That's getting me a little nervous over on that side. This one, too, over here. This wouldn't go over well at most of the churches this morning, amen? Say, well, I didn't really come to hear all this about me. Yeah. Yeah, that's why the crowd's small here, you know? We're an honest bunch, but we're small, you know? It does hurt. Amen. Yes, Ron.
The point is, acknowledging the fault is the step forward to doing something.
Amen. That is true. Amen. And see, that's the problem. People set themselves up on pedestal as if they're sinless, and guess what? They're always going to fall. There's none good. Abraham Lincoln, how many thinks he's a pretty honest guy? Honest Abe. Do you realize that he had, well, prostitutes might be a better word. We'd say hoes now, but if we're using prostitutes. He had prostitutes everywhere. Did you know that? Like that would have slowed you down.
I thought you meant Abraham in the Bible.
No.
No, he wasn't too good either.
He was terrible too. He's trying to pawn off his wife. Of course, if I had some of the wives that some people have, I'd be pawning them off too. But now, something had to change. And you know what? There wasn't any good. And so God couldn't reach down through the goodness of man and save them based upon the law. If the law was the means in which people would save, how many could get saved? One, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Every other man would have been lost. And so he couldn't reach through the portal of legalism. And yet that's what churches want to do, is control your life, make you and manipulate you into something that you aren't. And you're frustrated because you're trying your best. Amen. How many here has tried their best? And then that sin just sneaks back in there and grabs you. And you're like, what is wrong with me? I've just about got it conquered. Then all of a sudden one comes in and just whoop, grabs hold. Well, listen to this in verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that everybody, Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day. What is the good news? Jesus Christ took our sins and placed them upon the Lord. There they are. How many sins do you have now?
None.
Why? Because you walked the aisle? Because you came down and sling snot at an old-fashioned altar? Because you confessed up your sins? Why do you not have any sins right now? Everybody, Christ died for our sins. How many?
All
of them. Go to Colossians chapter 2. You see, I thank God that it's grace. Because if it was anything beyond grace, this boy wouldn't have made it in. He wouldn't have made it. Grace is the greatest word in the Bible. It's the extension of God's ability to save people that can't save themselves. Man, hallelujah. Aren't you guys glad you came? I'm glad you're here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you what?
All.
Going to forgive you?
Already.
Having already forgiven you. You know what? Thank God for that. Amen?
Amen.
I needed that. I wasn't any good. When I heard that message, I can tell you, that was the most relieving message. It was like, burdens were lifted at Calvary. Because all of a sudden, I knew it wasn't about me being good that saved me. It was about what Christ did at that cross that saved me. And the whole emphasis. And for 13 books, can you imagine this? Paul writes about, but now, 13 books about the time of grace. You know what I know about grace? Grace and law cannot mix. Like oil and water. They try to mix it. Say, well, you're saved by grace, but now you need to keep the commandments. How many has heard that? I heard that all my life. Well, listen to that. Go to Romans chapter 11. Boy, the time just escapes, doesn't it? You know, I went to Avatar. Has anybody seen the movie Avatar? In 3D? Who saw it in 3D? That was really good, wasn't it? It was unbelievable. I mean, that 3D, man. I mean, there was a guy who stood up, and I thought he was in the movie. I mean, and then I realized he was just a guy going to the bathroom, you know. But well, there was a flower on this side of his head, and his head's over there. I'm like, this is weird, you know. I actually walked out thinking I got my money's worth, you know. But it was 2 hours and 40 minutes, and it felt like we were there only 15 minutes. Does everybody feel that kind of way? Yeah. No, that Thursday felt like about 8 hours. William preached. His 35-minute sermon turned in 2 hours and 15 minutes. I mean, he had a lot to say that night. I'm like, man, you can't bundle that boy up. We're going to have to let him out in little squirts all year long before we put him back in there. Yes. Yeah. 35 minutes. And he got done, and he had already preached 50 minutes, and he said, what time did I start? I knew we were in trouble then. I could have taken up a collection just to slow them down, you know, and they would have paid. It was okay. It wasn't bad for a beginner. It was a little long. I had to go to the bathroom during it halfway through it. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm back there going like this, you know. You can't mix grace and law together. It's like oil and water. By the way, if you had a gallon of oil and a gallon of water, which one is heavier? Water. Water is heavier. Because you took a gallon of water and a gallon of oil and you poured them together, what would go to the top? Oil is lighter than water. That's very good. So now you've got a little bit of information you can take and use. She's like amazed. She's like, I didn't even think about that. Actually, my wife came up with that. She was brilliant. She got the answer right. We were on Jeopardy. We would have won like $10,000 or something. Gosh, not only is she good looking, she's smart too. When you knew she was smart, she married me, you know. I mean, that right there, that's it. You can't mix oil and water. You can't mix law and grace. Yes?
But what weighs more, a pound of water or a pound of oil?
They weigh exactly the same. See, I'm smarter than the average bear. Romans 11, verse 6. You can't mix them. You've not had this much fun at church in a long time. Amen?
Amen.
Brooke, how's your friend doing? Is he hanging in there back there?
Yep.
Okay. He's going, you go to a strange church. This place is filled with a bunch of hypocrites. And you know what I always thought? There's always room for one more like you. Amen? And he says in Romans 11, verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, if it be of the law, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Isn't that great?
Amen.
You know, it divides. People say, well, how do you divide the Bible? Well, it's real easy. Over here, what's in by law, works. Over here,
grace.
Over here, prophecy. Over here,
ministry.
Over here, time past. What now?
But now.
Should I answer that?
I'm trying to get it off to vibrate. I forgot to change it.
That's okay. If they need to talk to me, I'll talk to them. Okay. Sometimes people call me. They're all on different. I know people from all different time zones, so they get freaked out when I'm in church and when I'm not. I had one lady sat and listened to us for 10 minutes before she hung up. I put her on speaker after I got going. I guess she didn't like what I was preaching or something. I don't know. Boy, isn't that great? And if it's by grace, then it's no more of what? So the works, the absence of works, is grace. That's why, look in Romans chapter 4. I love these illustrations in Romans 4 that God so graciously gave us. Y'all aren't even hungry since you had those donuts. Can I preach another 30 minutes?
Yes. Yeah.
Sterling says, I'm done after 12.
Amen.
Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say to then that Abraham our father pertaineth to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. Well, what saith the Scripture? Ready? Abraham believed God, and it, his what?
Belief.
His belief was counted unto him for what? Guess what? Was counted unto me for righteousness. My belief that Jesus Christ went to that cross and died for my sins. Then God accounted to me his righteousness.
Amen.
Not based upon works, not based upon my goodness, not based upon the law, but beyond that, into his grace. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, how many turned the pages more than they've ever done in church before? Amen. And it's good to wear out these Bibles, amen. We do sell them for $59.95. No, I'm kidding. Verse 21. Yeah. My sister just bought some Oxford King James, and they were like $150 Bibles. And I said, no, they're like $250 Bibles. You got them for $150. Go buy them at Lifeway. She goes there, her jaw will drop. Good Bibles cost. All right, y'all there? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he, that is Almighty God, so you might want to put that in the sideline, made him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Amen. Isn't that great?
Amen.
Who knew no sin. How many sins did he know?
None.
So when he died, what caused his death? The wages of sin is death. What caused him to die? My sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. You're looking at as a person that is as righteous as Almighty God right now. Look at me. God imputed his righteousness to me. So I just don't believe Barry's that righteous. Barry's righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. But what God did is he made his son to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And so God imputed his righteousness to me upon believing his son, and I became righteous. And I am standing to you as righteous as God. Now, this is weird. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute, okay? Thank you, brother. You're such an encouragement. They said, preach another hour.
He's sitting in the kitchen.
They say you're probably eating hot dogs or something. Now, think about this for just a minute. I mean, I want you to think about this. Someone as filthy and as rotten and as a liar as me, God takes by his grace and gives me his righteousness. Now, I've always been curious about people's salvation. I listen to people's salvation stories out of their mouth. That's how I know. And if we went down the way, you'd have a story to tell. And some of the stories would be right, and some of them would be wrong. Y'all understand? I could hear when you said things wrong. Y'all understand? It's not that I'm condemning you. It's that we sometimes don't hear. Now think for imagine right now, knowing what you are and you gain the righteousness of God and you know that you're made the righteousness of God. How many would ever doubt that? How many would ever question that? Wonder when they got it? Got it? I mean, think about what I'm saying. Or anything about that. You would not even, I know the day that I went from being a filthy, rotten sinner to having and obtaining the righteousness of God. I know what happened that day.
Amen.
If you do not know that, then you're lost. That's as simple as I can put it. You're lost. The good thing about being lost is you can be found. I think Ron said it best. You can't get saved until you see what you really are.
That's right. Amen.
What would be the point? If you think you're a pretty good person, then hey, you're going to think I'm doing okay. But when you lose all hope and everything's gone in your life and you haven't got anything, when you get that lost, getting saved isn't hard. I'm just telling you, it isn't hard. Getting to that point is hard because our mind is deceitful. It will kind of bring up all kinds of things. You know what came in my mind? I joined the church when I was 13. Boom, that came in my mind. I said, you're okay. I wasn't okay. At 17, I repented thinking, man, I'm going in the wrong direction. I never did really repent. I just kept going in that direction thinking I was feeling pretty sorry about what I did that night. But on the 24th of August, 1983, I chunked it all. That day, in that bathroom, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I know that day I gained the righteousness of God. Now, you might not like how I look with the righteousness of God on me, but it doesn't matter. That's what's going to get me into heaven. And that's all you need. That you've got to have. It's a requirement. Say, well, I joined the church. And I walked the aisle for Jesus. And I was baptized. And the only thing God's going to ask you is, where do you have the righteousness of God? And you know, there's a little skit on the YouTube that's great called The Good Old Meter. You ought to look it up on YouTube. The Good Old Meter. And he goes and stands on the meter. Well, I've done some good acts of kindness and did this and then, meep, not good enough. When it came to God, this guy had a red file. He was in trouble. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks up. And he says, well, hands him the other file and he says, a child of God. He says, okay, well, get on the scale. And he said to the guy, not you, him. See, when I'm weighed and tried, he's not going to weigh me. He's going to weigh the Lord Jesus Christ. Where if he'd have weighed me, I would come up wanting and needful. But when he gets on the scale, there is no need. He is righteous. And he gets on that scale and Jesus goes, whoop, good enough. And the guy go in and they say, well, that's not fair. It is fair because he's told you exactly how it works.
That's right. That's it.
And if you don't want to get saved, you want to play around with this thing, just play around with this thing. I'm just telling you. Play around with it and end up in hell. And you know what? Look around. Look around in this room. Inevitably, there'll be one of you in this room that will end up in hell. I guarantee you. Look around. Who's it going to be? Somebody in this room will bust hell wide open. For whatever reason in your mind. God doesn't want you. He's made all the propitiations for you. Everything that He could possibly have done on your behalf has been done. And grace has been bestowed. You want it? You can try to do it by works. How many did it by works? Grace, anybody who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. Guys, listen. I tell you what, this church is a very unique church in the fact that you start to understand what's being taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you understand the difference of grace, you want to go back into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know what I have to do? I have to say with Paul, do you not hear the law? You don't really hear it. You know what? It isn't about you being good. It's about Jesus Christ. I'm done.